This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 193. Can a comic collector of 20 plus years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Horsewoman calls in her equine troops. Cat Mite hearts Batgirl. Buffy gets controversial. Vampire powers activate. Off to Babylon. And survey says, this is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, February 12, 2012. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts, and blogs. And you can subscribe via iTunes where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork at gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Got a lot to cover this week, so let's move right on to Demon Knights number 6 by Cornell and Neves. So the final battle has now begun, attacking this village. And Exoristos takes this stand. She's got all this guilt from getting the young girl killed. And she actually holds her own for a while, since she is, when we now know, an Amazon. Xanadu realizes she can save herself by apparently sacrificing another so she can
regain her youth. She takes their life force or something.
Force from this other person. She's got a knife in her hand, but she just can't put herself to do it.
Well, she must do it at some point.
Right. So Horsewoman calls in the troops, the horse troops, kind of like how Aquaman calls in fish troops, I guess. So
I don't know. How could you distinguish horse minds from other mammal minds? I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So Etrigan ends up saving Exoristos because she's eventually just getting overwhelmed and being terribly injured.
And his main goal is to protect Madame Xanadu.
Right.
Right. And so he does whatever he needs to protect her, and they convince him that saving Exoristos will help save Madame Xanadu.
Right.
He doesn't do it from the goodness of his heart because he wants to save her.
Yeah. So Horsewoman is thrown from her horse, and now it's confirmed that these are enchanted ropes that actually put her on a horse because, again, she doesn't have the use of her legs. At one point in the battle, the ropes end up putting her on a new mount because her current horse is terribly injured and is about to die. So somehow the ropes protect her by moving her to a new horse. So in the final shot in the issue, they're all attacking together. So next issue, I assume, is going to be the conclusion of this particular storyline. It seems like it.
Now, is this getting a new writer?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
It's also not doing very well, so I don't know how much longer it's going to run, unfortunately. Batman Brave and the Bold, number 16, the final issue by Fish and Burchett. It's a real shame to see this title go. Seems like Johnny DC is moving more toward the Tiny Titans-like stuff. There's going to be a new Superman Family Adventures title by the same team that's doing Tiny Titans. I enjoy Tiny Titans, but I really will miss this title. This, again, coming out of the various comic, the various cartoon series.
Yeah, I like this title too. I'm sad to see it go.
Yeah. So Batmite is back, and he brings in these villains that end up wearing these variant bat suits. Batman is showing them at this event.
A fashion event. For Fashion Week.
So Batgirl arrives, and Batmite is in love. And Batman tries to advise him,
maybe this isn't the best idea.
Yeah. But the only thing that Batmite is guided by are comic books. So there's a lot of Silver Age references in this, as you would expect. The Mad Mod is one of the villains. There's a shot of the I Married a Monster, where it's Batgirl next to this greenish monster, which is exact duplicate of, I believe, a Wonder Woman issue, where Wonder Woman is marrying this monster. At one point, Batman saves Batgirl with these giant pair of scissors, and she's like, where did you get these? And you see the sign for the Gotham City Really Big Office Supply Expo.
Yeah.
A call back to the there's always giant props in the old Batman stuff. There's a romance cover, pastiche. Mr. Polka Dot shows up. And then in the end, when Batmite learns that the title has been canceled, he's like, but there's never going to be a team up with Super Turtle or Space Cabbie or the Dingbats of Danger Street. And these are all actual titles from Silver Age. Characters, at least. But in the end, he ends up going for Zatanna anyways.
Yes, because Batgirl tells him he needs someone who matches his magical self.
Right. And so there you go.
I did see also at one point Batmite was looking at a Lois Lane comic.
Right.
So that, I enjoyed that one.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Season 9, Number 6 from Dark Horse by Chambliss and Janti. There are multiple stories going on in this issue. Buffy is pregnant, which is what we learned in the previous issue, and Dawn offers to help her through the process. Buffy ends up talking to Robin. Is Robin an existing character?
Yes.
Okay. I was like, where did this guy come from?
Yes, he was in the show.
Okay. So his mother was a Slayer, and Crowley, who we've now seen, was her watcher. And she tried to turn away from the life of being a Slayer, but in the end, she really just couldn't do it. And Spike ends up killing her. Again, this is all previous to today.
Right. And Spike actually killed a few different Slayers. That was sort of part of his backstory through the whole thing.
Right.
So.
Now, is the mother a new character?
The Slayer mom?
Yeah.
No, she was.
She was.
Yes, she was introduced in the series, too, in the context that Spike killed her.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah.
And.
Okay. I just wasn't sure. So meanwhile, Spike's on this ride-along with Detective Dowling, and they're on the lookout for these zompires, and they have a conversation, and Dowling realizes that Spike is in love with Buffy, duh. And Spike and Buffy then meet in the end, and she announces, A, she's pregnant, and B, that she's getting an abortion, and she realized, because she can't put a child through this kind of life.
Well, I think even more, I think she's implied that it wasn't so much the Slayer life. It was just she was so screwed up as a person at this point.
Yeah. And so she's asking Spike to help her through that. And he agrees. And of course, this generated a great deal of controversy.
Yes.
as you're going to have when you have a character have an abortion in a comic book.
Yeah, I'm not sure about it. I'm still liking Faith better. So.
Right. It's a better title than the Buffy title.
It's sort of ironic that Faith, who is so screwed up in the TV series, is more together now than Buffy.
Unwritten number 34 by Vertigo by Carrion Gross. So Tom is at the mercy of the cadre, or is he? Well, Pullman escapes while he's trying to figure out what to do. And Lizzie and Richie end up disrupting the cadre's readers. Again, they're controlling Tom and in negating his powers by having this huge room of people telling stories about how Tom doesn't have any powers. He's a minor character. He's been killed. You know, basically putting so much negative story energy that it negates any positive story energy he has. And Richie ends up turning into this swarm of bats. He just kind of says, well, I'm a vampire, so I should be able to turn into a bat. And instead, he turns into this swarm of bats, and which terrifies all these readers in this room. And Lizzie blows the head off the guy in charge in the room. And so now Tom has his powers back, and he kills the troops of the cadre in this what appears to be the main room, their main headquarters. He resurrects their supposed leader, but it turns out he's just a pawn. And they all get their orders from this statue called Sybil.
I liked the question that Tom asked, or the comment that he made, that nobody thinks to ask who puts the messages in Sybil's mouth.
Right. And the resurrected leaders is like, well, there was nothing to gain from knowing that and a lot to lose, so we didn't ask. So it's off to the statue. Tom asks his question to the statue and reaches into it. And there's this explosion. He's thrown into this pit that's right there. And he finds Pullman there. And so now there's going to be the fight between Pullman and Tom.
One would assume, yes.
Right. So, again, this storyline just keeps moving along very well. I really am enjoying this. Memorial number 3 from IDW by Roberson and Ellis. I thought I was reading a different title for a minute. This is almost becoming like Fable and Unwritten's Love Child.
Exactly. Yes.
So M is thrown to Babylon, and Babylon is actually a person, not a place, but Babylon lives along with these thousands of blind acolyte monks in what is apparently the inspiration for the Tower of Babel. And they just imagine all possible answers to any question is their charge. And of course, then she wants answers, but no one knows the answer. All they know are
possible answers.
So she wants to know about Peter, and we learn that Peter is now a prisoner in this ship.
We learn, but she doesn't.
Yeah, she doesn't learn that. And is it actually Pinocchio, or is it just a pastiche of Pinocchio?
You know, it's hard to say.
Right, is torturing him. And Peter laughs because he realizes the bad guys don't even know who the girl is.
They don't know about M.
Right. So the Shadow Army attacks the Tower of Babylon, and M is whisked away by the leader of the Shadow Army, and she ends up inadvertently using the key that she has to reverse time on the Shadow Leader, and so he's come from Babylon across the ocean, come to the Everlands, and he just reverses him, so he goes back to Babylon, but she ends up staying and has now been left in the Everlands, where anybody who comes there apparently can never get out.
Well, but she has a key.
Right.
Do you like this title?
I do like this title, but I do also think it's trotting over a lot of the same territory of some other titles.
Yeah, especially because when they were in the tower and they were talking about how the monks make up the stories and the stories make up the world.
Yeah.
That's just like the Unwritten.
Exactly.
I'm not saying they're copying from them or anything,
because this
is a common
trope. Absolutely.
But it just, that to read Unwritten and then to immediately read this one.
Yes. And if this story had come out, say, 2 or 3 years ago, everyone would be saying, oh, they're copying Memorial.
Or they're copying
the concept.
Yes.
So the new DC survey results are in. Nielsen ran this survey of comic book readers. Not me.
Oh, I took it.
I didn't take it.
I did.
When I didn't ever got the link.
Oh.
What the heck?
Well, apparently it's a good thing I did, because it said only 7% of were women.
Yeah, you're part of that 7%. So it involved in-store, online, and email surveys, and things they've learned is that the new 52 appeal to avid fans. Really? I'm shocked. That's a real head scratcher that would happen. What I did like is that avid fans were considered fans that bought 20 of the new 52. I bought 40 plus of the new 52, at least to start.
Well, that would be 20 for each of us. There you go.
So the breakdown of the survey results. There are 70% of the readers were considered avid. 25% were lapsed readers, meaning they had not been buying comics for a while and came back. But only 5% were new readers being brought in. And since DC was really pushing more to get the lapsed readers back in than to get a new group in, I think that slightly bodes well. What doesn't bode well is only 2% were under 18. Now, it's not a good thing, but it's certainly understandable, considering how expensive comics are and considering how adult comics have become.
Exactly.
It's very hard for kids really to get into comics, both from a financial standpoint and from...
at least into superhero comics, because I don't know if you saw that other list that came out of like the top 20 graphic novels or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them were things that kids are buying in bookstores that are considered comic graphic novels, like, say, Captain Underpants. That wasn't one of them, but it's stuff
but
like that.
Yeah.
And maybe that would translate later into them reading the more adult comics.
Hopefully. So over 50% had incomes of $60,000 a year or less. So that kind of says, okay, well,
you have to hold the line at $299.
Yeah, you can't raise the price. 57% of what I assume are primarily digital readers reading the digital comics buy print comics, but only 16% of primarily print readers buy digital. The digital is becoming more of a gateway into the print comics than print is becoming a gateway into digital.
And that too makes sense.
Right.
At least to me.
Your more traditional readers, like me, are going to read print.
Yes.
Than buy the digital. And your newer readers...
Well, and the people who get into it because they're getting digital copies because that's easy. They see them on iTunes or whatever.
And it's just an impulse buy.
It's an impulse buy. They get hooked and then they go to the print.
Some good and bad in there. We'll see again as the numbers continue to come in month to month how much the new 52 has really changed the industry. Before we get out of here, it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? Are you ready, Mark?
I am ready.
Okay, go.
Is it movie related?
No.
Is it TV related?
Yes.
It's TV related.
We never see anything but movies and TV now.
That's true. Okay, so TV show, is it the cast of a TV show? Or part of a cast?
Yes, okay. That's correct.
Is the show on one of the three major networks?
No.
Is it on Fox?
No.
Is it on cable?
No.
Is it on CW?
Yes.
Okay, CW show.
I looked that up, just okay. So you'd know.
Okay. CW show, is it genre related?
Yes.
Is it vampire related?
Yes.
Is it Vampire Diaries?
It is. I'm kind of impressed.
Well, they keep going to the vampire covers, so.
You don't have any idea who the actors are.
I wouldn't have the slightest clue.
Yeah, I don't.
Some model and some other model.
Yeah, pretty much. This is even a multiple cover one.
Wow.
They had three different possible covers that you could get. I wonder why they never do music anymore. Because people don't buy the music issues?
I guess not.
Hmm.
But speaking of the CW, some other thing I wanted to note, it was announced this week that DC is now going to put out a season 11 of Smallville, based apparently on the success of the Buffy series, you know, season 8 and 9. That, oh, well, we could just continue that. I don't know if that's going to translate very well, but...
There's also been a lot of buzz lately about Arrow.
Oh, yes. A Green Arrow TV series. Nothing, not at all based on what went on in Smallville. Another way to really confuse people.
Yes.
Like, no, you already established a character. Why not just continue that character?
A stupid character.
Well, it was a stupid character, but it's a character that somebody actually knew. As opposed to the general public going, you know, Green what? Hornet?
Yes.
Lantern?
But
Arrow?
But if they went
he?
With this Green Arrow, they would have to bring in Tom Welling for guest spots and all the other characters that they'd already established.
Not necessarily.
And Chloe would have to be there.
Well, what else is she doing? Oh, well. I don't know. I just don't quite get that. I want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed of other SF podcasts and blogs, including Mindy's Comic A Day blog and my blog where I'm talking about the Filmation Aquaman series. You can subscribe via iTunes and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-3219-SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.